Read me romance. Read, read me romance. Read me romance. Read, read me romance.
You could take a look in a book, that's fine. Or you could sit back, relax, and unwind and
read me romance. Read, read me romance.
Hey, lady listeners, happy Friday.
Hey.
Welcome to Read Me Romance. We're here for the final installment of Evermore by B.B. Reed. I know you guys are pretty desperate for the ending, so we're just going to talk for 45 minutes.
Perfect.
You don't tell us what to do.
Fuck you.
I have to ask you guys really quick before we talk about anything important. Are you watching Dead to Me on Netflix?
Yes, the one with Christina Applegate.
Holy shit, that show's fun.
It was horrible,
but fun, you know?
So, those of you who don't know, the premise is Christina Applegate, her husband gets hit on the side of the road while he's out for a run. It's in the early morning hours. And so, the person that hits him, and this is in the first episode, the woman who hits him befriends Christina Applegate without telling her that she did this. And so, she wants to try to make amends, and that's what she's doing.
Did he die?
Do what?
Did he die?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah,
so basically, she goes to a support group and for like people with, you know.
And you don't know if that's a coincidence or not. Like that, I think that was a coincidence. They're at the same support group. And that's because when she finds out that that's the woman, she's like, oh, fuck. But she doesn't back off. So I don't know.
Oh, I don't know. I'd have to go back and watch that first episode again because I didn't think it was. I thought she'd followed her there, but.
Oh, okay.
Because she was like, can I give you a hug? Remember that scene?
Yeah.
I related so much to Christina Applegate when the girl was like, can I give you a hug? And she was like, no.
Yeah. Like, don't touch me. But, you know, I actually, LB and I were talking about this last weekend because we both watched it. And I said, I feel like this was written like a serial romance author would have done this. The fact that, like, you know how romance authors used to release books in parts, and at the end of every part, they would leave you with a cliffhanger. I said, I felt like these episodes were about 20 minutes too long, and they had a really good cliffhanger at the end. I said, instead of, like, 10 episodes, they probably should have had 6. Because I felt like there was a lull in some of them where there wasn't a ton happening. But at the end of every episode, it would be this, like, fucking awesome cliffhanger.
Or this big reveal. Yeah, or, like, a big reveal.
And then you would have to watch that. Yeah, you had to watch the next episode. Like, I binged it all and watched it, and it was so good. But I kept thinking, like, gosh, I wish it would have been, like, this the whole time.
Meanwhile, my husband loved it. And I thought, like, I kept saying to him, do you hate this? Because a lot of it is just women having a conversation. Mm-hmm. Like, it's Christina Applegate and the other actress who's, I actually don't know her name.
I can't remember. I knew it.
She's great. And I've watched her in Bloodline and a couple of other things too. But my husband, yeah, he was super into it. He got mad at me for watching the last 3 episodes last night without him. I was like, well, sorry, you know, but you don't install my air conditioner anymore. So
no good. You know, and my husband, we started watching it together, and he thought it was supposed to be a comedy. So we watched the first episode, and he was like, that wasn't funny at all. And I was like, is it supposed to be? And he's like, I thought this was a comedy.
It is dark comedy in some ways.
It's not funny. It's not funny, though. There's like, there's not a lot of humor.
The guy that plays, I don't want to say
it's
anything.
It's dark.
No, well, I don't want to say anything else because it'll ruin it. But there is some funny parts to it, like unintentionally
funny. It's
really
good. Yeah, it's really good. But there was a lot of parts where it was unintentionally funny. But he dipped out after like 2 or 3 episodes. He's like, I'm not laughing. I don't think this is supposed to be like that. But okay, I liked it though. I thought it was pretty good.
We asked you guys in honor of Sierra Simone Week last week. We asked you for your hookup stories inside of a church or at church. And you guys delivered.
Oh my God.
I really delivered. So I'm going to go ahead and read those emails to you guys.
Oh, I'm excited.
Yeah.
Amp it up.
Oh, gosh. Okay, here's one from a lady listener. When I was in youth group, we would occasionally go on overnight trips with or to other churches. They didn't separate boys and girls, big mistake, because we usually spent the night in one large open room with other youth groups. My boyfriend, now husband, and I would get as close as we could, and using blankets, sweaters, etc., we would cover our bottom halves, and he'd finger me while I jacked him off.
Oh my God.
With a bunch of youth group kids around.
Yes!
We were just horny teenagers. We'd take anything we could get away with. I love it. She sent me from her, she sent that from her iPhone, which is my favorite part. She's like sending it from a stoplight somewhere.
That's amazing. I love it. That was a good one.
Okay, here's another one. Oh my Lord, let me start off by saying that I absolutely love this podcast. I've been a fan of you ladies for years now. I love you. Dear Lord, forgive me for what I'm about to confess.
So she's a Catholic.
I actually had sex in the parking lot of my church with people walking outside. Please don't hate me. Like, I idolize you, girl. My husband and I were dating at the time. We were teenagers, and we used to go to church school on Sundays to finish off our holy sacraments. I think that is Catholic, right? One day we were extremely horny and decided to make out in the car while we waited for class to start. Things got hot and heavy pretty quick after our makeout session. We moved to the back seat of the car. Thank God the windows were dark. It was during spring, so it was not so hot in Los Angeles yet. Anyway, we kept making out and taking off our clothes. He climbed on top of me, and we just started to get it on. Let me tell you, it was one of the hottest experiences I've ever had. Just the thought of getting caught in the parking lot from our church. Up to this day, I'm not even sure if someone saw the car moving, because this was no slow love making. He was literally fucking my brains out. Thank you for creating this podcast. I know, when I read that yesterday, I was like, well, I guess I have to go masturbate now. Thanks a lot. Thanks for dropping that on me with no warning.
I know, right? There should be warnings at the beginning of this.
There really should.
These are great.
They are good. I'm saving my favorite one. Okay. This one, I'm still not sure if I should say her name, but let me just tell you that this is the same couple where the man proposed with a string around his dick with a wedding ring.
I love him so much. I've told everybody about that. That was the greatest story ever.
Wait, she writes his name in the email, so I guess it's fine.
Don't say it. No, don't say it. Don't.
Okay. Tessa, this is hilarious that I get to email you again. I don't have a great story because there really isn't much to it, but blank's dad is a preacher. Like, he married us. Yes, we've had sex in the parking lot of the church, not inside the church. Also, the church where we got married. No cool story this time. Just wanted to email you. And yes, my friends always think of him when they hear the song Son of a Preacher Man. But I'm like, if she would have said that the guy who proposed to her with a string around his dick was a preacher's son.
I know, right? I love it. I mean, I'm not shocked. They're usually the bad boys, right?
Yep. Okay, let me see.
My neighbor, she went to a wedding this weekend, and she got back really late, and she was all dressed up, and I was like, oh my God, you look beautiful. And we were having our party on Friday, and so she came over for a few minutes and just talked to us. And she was like, girl, that wedding was dry. And I was no. And she said, yep. She said her daddy was the preacher. He did the wedding. There wasn't any alcohol. And I was like, and you were there all night? And she was like, yep, I was in the wedding.
Your accent just got so thick right now.
Well, she has a really thick accent. It's really cute.
I love
too.
It.
Her name's Mikey. She's so cute.
Hey, Mikey. Sorry about that.
I like that name for a girl.
I know. Isn't it cute? She's so freaking sweet, too. She's 10 years older than her husband. She told me about their love story this weekend, and she was his boss. Like, they're both really into, like, hunting and fishing and stuff. And so she was working out in, like, Colorado, I think. She was working out there for, like, the forestry department or whatever, the, like, game and ward. And so she was out there, and he got hired on, and they were both from North Carolina. And she was like, oh my God, it'd be cool to meet somebody, like, you know, from my state. And so they met, and she was like, I just thought he was a nice kid. Like, he was 10 years younger than me, because she's 38 and he's 27. Mm. And she's like, you know, she's like, I just thought he was this nice kid. And she said, you know, we were friends for a few years, and I ended up moving back home to North Carolina to be closer to my family, my parents and stuff. And she said he moved back to North Carolina too, because same thing, he wanted to be closer to his family. And she said, we just ended up in the same town. And he was like, well, do you want to go to a concert? And she's like, all right, I guess. And so they go, and she said, girl, he laid one on me. And I thought, okay. I know, she was telling me and LB the story, and we just fell out. And she was like, I thought, damn, I could do this. So she said that she had been married once before, and she's like, all right. She said, he kept asking me, when you going to let me buy you a ring? When you going to let me buy you a ring? And she said, finally, I said, all right, fine, you can buy me one. She said he went out the next day, like the next morning, and went and bought her ring. And she said he didn't waste any time. So she told, the proposal story was sweet, but it's kind of long. But anyway, so she was just talking about like how he did it like right away. And she said, we got engaged in December, married in May, pregnant in June. And I was like, that's the way to do it. So yeah, she's
I want to come to a party at your house.
I know. Well, I mean, you get to hear great stories like that. That's my favorite thing to ask is like, ask people's love stories, how they met, like, how'd you get engaged? Like, those are my favorite stories. I mean, I'm a romance writer. Of course, I love that. But yeah. But tell me more about dirty church stories, because I'm going to need this for later.
This is my favorite one.
Okay.
Hi, lady podcasters. First, I have to say how much I love the podcast. It keeps my drive home from school drop-off interesting, and it's introduced me to so many new authors. I can only imagine how many emails you ladies get from listeners, so I'm not sure whether my church hookup story would be super interesting compared to others. Spoiler, it is. It sort of has to be put into context because otherwise I'll just sound crazy. I grew up in New England and my family is Unitarian, which is a very liberal kind of hippie-like church for people who aren't agnostic but are generally not into dogmatic stuff. Think singing songs by Cat Stevens and from West Side Story as our version of hymns. In sixth grade, we spent the church year taking what was then called About Your Sexuality, but is now called Our Whole Lives. We actually watched an 80s-era porn movie, or part of it, so we could discuss that aspect of social sexuality. Needless to say, we all learned what masturbation, oral sex, anal sex, and the Kama Sutra was before high school.
Holy shit! I like this
I like that church.
Yeah, can that sign me up. Unitarian.
Make a believer out of me.
Be saying amen.
High school meant that our youth group traveled to other churches in New England for conferences with youth groups from all over the region. There were three rules at each con. One, no drugs. Two, no alcohol. And three, no overt sex. So I guess that means be cool about it. Is that what that means?
Yeah, like don't hump in a circle.
No circle jerks.
No PDA. No do it in the corner.
Yeah. Go to the bathroom like a grown-up.
Junior year of high school, I was at a con at a church somewhere in Vermont. There was a cute boy there named Josh. We waited until lights out to hook up in our sleeping bags on the floor near the lectern. Things were getting pretty hot and heavy, hands everywhere, clothes coming off, when my friend Emma plunked herself down on the other side of Josh. I knew she thought he was cute too, but girl code. What sticks out most is that neither Josh nor I was surprised or put off. She just said, hey, and all of a sudden it was the three of us messing around. One girl on each side of Josh. I remember touching him and feeling her hands on him in all the same places. At one point, he propped my foot up on the lectern so he could get a better angle with his mouth.
Wow.
Hallelujah.
Wow. Rock star. That is an aggressively sexy move.
That is so like,
it's a power move.
Yeah.
That's that big dick energy.
It's big dick energy. That's the epitome of it right there. Mm-hmm. It was insanely hot, but it was also really relaxed. Around 3 a.m., I couldn't stay awake anymore. I have a very clear memory of saying, I need to go to sleep, Josh. Go play with Emma. Then rolling over unfazed and passing out while they kept hooking up. The next morning, we all made pancakes together with zero awkwardness. Sorry for going on. Anyways, that's my church story. I hope it makes you guys laugh. It made me something.
I know, right? That's so hot.
That is so hot.
Oh my God, that's awesome. You're like, so we're doing this again next weekend, right?
Yeah, seriously.
Like, all these church visits. Oh my God, I love it.
Yeah. And then to wrap it up, I have a sexual mishap story. Would you guys like to hear it?
Yes. Okay. These are my faves.
Hey, ladies.
If you're new to the podcast and you want to send these in, please, we love to read listener emails. So if you have any like sexual mishaps or anything funny or anything to do with your love story or romance, throw it at us.
Yeah, I think at this point we've asked for ghost stories. We've asked for church hookup stories,
camp,
family, distant family.
Yes. Like step siblings, like those kind of hookup stories. I wanted cheerleader stories.
Your darkest sexual fantasy stories. Yes. All of them remain anonymous, obviously. So you're safe with us. I just ripped them up. I like ripped them up and like dumped them in my trash can afterwards and pour soap on them, they'll never be found. So, yeah. Okay. Hey, ladies, I recently found your podcast from Winter Renshaw, and I'm loving it. Y'all give me some big laughs every morning when I'm working out at the gym. I even get awkward looks sometimes, but it's all great. I had a sex story that I just had to share. My husband and I got married almost 8 years ago and spent our honeymoon in Cancun, Mexico, at a beautiful all-inclusive resort. We had a great time on our honeymoon, but when we flew back home, I started to feel as though my insides were exploding. As a medical student at the time, I was well aware of the symptoms of E. coli poisoning, or traveler's diarrhea, sorry for the graphics. Needless to say, as a new bride, I was not looking my best. However, somehow I had a big sex drive and so did my husband. So after 24 hours of sickness, I thought I was good enough for another round in the bedroom. I was in a cowgirl. I was in cowgirl, one of my favorite positions for getting off quickly, and right as I came, I realized I didn't just come out. It didn't just come out one orifice, but out out the rear as well.
Oh, God, yes.
I didn't tell you the subject line of this email because it was pooping while fucking. Didn't want to spoil it.
That's amazing.
I was mortified, but my husband quickly lightened the mood by saying, "Babe, you just shit on me." And was laughing.
Well, I can picture this in my mind so clearly right now.
I proceeded to lock myself in the bathroom for the next hour as my husband laughed and told me how much he still loved me. After having a good laugh and makeup sex a few days later, mind you, we never brought up that day again. However, now I'm pregnant and battling morning sickness, and when he made gestures to have sex with me, I said no adamantly and explained that I'd puke on him if he stuck his dick inside me. He smiled and chuckled and just said, "You've done worse." Of course, I slightly hated him for the upper hand, but so blessed to have a man who loves me enough to stay with me even after shitting on him on our honeymoon.
Oh my God.
Love a lady listener in Texas.
That's amazing. I love that story so much because you know what? That literally shit happens. And you know, and you just.
I'd be more upset that it was going to get everywhere. I'm like, the blanket! No, I wouldn't be worried about my husband. I'd be like, don't, be careful!
Don't get it on the floor!
That would just be one of those situations where everything goes in a trash bag and you just go buy new shit. You don't try cleaning that off.
Leah's got fancy sheets over there.
Oh, no. Those sheets are getting washed. I mean, I washed them a couple of times, but you're not throwing those in the trash. Those sheets cost more than my bed.
Speaking of husbands, how would you guys say your husband describes you? If he was in the room and you weren't listening, what would he say about you?
Do you know, we had this conversation actually not too long ago because we had our party last week and he invites some of his coworkers, or I say coworkers because it's weird to say his employees, but they're people who work for him. He hired them. He's their boss. So I guess technically they're his employees, but it feels weird to say that because I still see him as someone who laughs at fart jokes. So I don't think he could be anybody's boss. But anyways, so they come over and like one of his employees is like, "You know, your husband has said such nice things about you." And I was like, "Yeah, what's he say? Like, I want to hear this. Like, how does he describe me, you know?" And that's when he said, he was like, "Oh, he just said like you were really funny, you're a great mom and all this stuff." And I was like, "That was really nice. I didn't expect that." I mean, not that he wouldn't say nice things about me, but he's usually like makes jokes first. So the fact that he said nice things was nice. But I like that he describes me as funny. I don't know why I like being funny. But
what about you, Mel?
I have no idea how he would describe me.
Like, if you don't think if he was gonna say like oh tell me about your wife, what would he say?
I don't know that I'm quiet.
Yeah,
that I'm shy.
That you're hot.
He used to talk about my boobs a lot when we were younger, and I don't know that I work a lot. Yeah, just always working.
That's probably fair. You're always on the laptop.
Yeah,
your industrial laptop.
I've never
like
thought
400
about
pounds.
It. It is like 400 pounds.
Yeah.
Now I'm gonna ask. I'm going to ask him that next time I see him. Well, when he brings me my tacos today, I'm going to be like, "When you describe me, what do you say?"
Yeah. What do you think, Tessa?
I don't know. I wrote the question and I still don't know. I think he does make a bigger deal out of what I do for a living to other people, like, than he does in front of me. You know, like, to me, I feel like his eyes just glaze over when I talk about anything work-related, like what I'm writing or strategizing for releases or whatever. And he just looks so disinterested. But then he'll come home and he'll be like, another one of my customers wants one of your books for his wife. And I'm like, how often do you talk about what I do in work? That's and so how does sweet. It come up?
Like, he's proud.
Yeah, so I think he does talk about me more than I think he does.
My husband definitely talks about, well, I don't know if he talks about it to his employees, but he often says, like stuff about my butt and my boobs. So, I mean, that would be, like, the conversation starter for anybody.
Are you different around your husband than you are around your friends?
I don't know. God, that's a good question.
Do you act differently around your friends? Like, when you're just out with your friends on, like, a night out, or would you act the same way around your husband?
I think I would act the same. Yeah. I think I always act the same unless I'm in a new room where I'm, like, kind of shy and reserved until I come out of my shell. But I think I'm always the same.
I think it depends on what we're doing. Like, I know, like, when LB came over, we just sat on the porch by ourselves and just talked for hours. But it was, you know, mostly catching up. And I knew that, like, you know, my husband would put the kids to bed and clean up the kitchen. Like, I didn't have to worry about that because he knows, like, oh, she's just catching up. Like, she wants her time alone. You know, not that I act any different, but I like, don't do as much if, like, my friends are there. Because he knows, like, oh, she wants to spend time with him, you know, like, I'll handle this.
Yeah, so my husband's good about that too, aspect. Like, making himself scarce when he knows I want to have girl time.
Yeah, I like that part.
Yeah, no, I act completely different around my friends than I do around my husband, though.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you think it's because, like, you have the ability to be more silly with your friends?
Yeah. And also, there's a big age difference between us, so he's 14 years older than me. Yeah. And he's pretty conservative. Like, he's not into, like, any kind of public display of affection, or he doesn't like to draw attention. Whereas if I have, like, literally one sip of alcohol, I will swing from the rafters, you know, and I'll do anything. And I just like to be a little, like, silly and crazy. And I probably wouldn't do that around him. I think it would. I'd be worried it would embarrass him.
Yeah, but it's good that you have the, like, the place to let that go, though. You know, it's not just this pent-up thing inside you that you can't enjoy. You know, I always say there's a time and place for everything.
Yeah.
You know, and if you're able to do that with your girlfriends. I will say I act differently around different friends. You know, I don't know that I act different around my husband than I do, like, my really close friends. But, you know, when I have, like, I have certain groups of friends where, you know, we're close for different reasons. You know, and like, we bond over different things. Like, one of my really good friends, Lauren, that lives in Chicago, she and I just talk about Harry Potter all the time. Like, we've been to Universal together several times. I didn't even know what she did for a living. I swear to God. So, like, my friend Shannon, I'm going to Universal again in June for my birthday. And my friend Shannon's coming with me. And Shannon and Lauren came down and met us there. And we were in the lobby doing something, and Shannon was like, Lauren, what do you do? And I was like, oh, yeah, what do you do? Like, we just never had that conversation. And we had fucking, like, shared hotel rooms together and gone to Universal, like, for, you know, 2 and 3 days together, hours on end. But it was just, that was not our relationship. I mean, it's funny. Like, I just have different friends for different things, you know?
Yeah, like, I know what you mean by that.
Yeah. With this coming weekend, I'm going camping for Girl Scouts. So we do this every year. Where the first weekend in June, I take my oldest daughter to go camping. And so
I fucking love Girl Scout camp.
Oh my God, I know. I'm really excited. So this is like, this is the troop one that we go to, and it's usually mother-daughters go, and it's just for the weekend. She's going to 2 more Girl Scout camps by herself. She's doing 2 overnights this summer alone. And so, so this is just sort of the precursor to that. So my husband's going to stay at home with our youngest one. And this is like one of those times where, like, I'm either going to hear about how bad it was or how good it was. So, I don't know. Like, I'm kind of preparing myself for either way, but...
You mean camp?
Well, no, my husband, when he's at home. Because my youngest one, she's a wild card.
She's wild, yeah.
Yeah, so like you said, you know, she doesn't act the same around him as she does around me.
Does she... She acts totally different. She gets away with more?
Yeah. Do your kids do that? Do they act different around...
100%.
Each parent, like, different around the mom and the dad.
She throws sass at my husband that she wouldn't dare throw in my direction. you know?
Really?
Yeah, like she... And she also kind of punishes him. Like, if he's been at work for a couple of nights in a row and he hasn't been home, she'll punish him for, like, a day and a half until...
What?
Yeah, she'll, like... It's like, she doesn't... Ignore I don't him. Think she realizes she's doing it. She'll be mean to him. She'll be like, leave me alone. Or she'll ignore him, like, because she's mad at him for not being around. You know, like, he has a choice because he works. But, like, we know the drill and we know how she is. And then she'll eventually warm up and then she's, like, almost making up for it. Like, she's yeah. really extra warm. So she's just a petty girl, like your mom.
Do your kids do that, Mel? Do they like act differently with your husband than they do with you?
It used to be a lot more with my daughter. She'd be more, she won't act out in front of him, but lately now that she's a teenager, she'll just do whatever, but they're usually better behaved if he's around.
Really?
Well, you're not selling me on teenager, so.
No, I'm not selling you on teenager. I just got back from a weekend back. With a teenager, and I'm like.
Oh, yeah, you guys went to Hershey. Can you tell me? I've never been there. Tell me about what y'all did.
Cool. I think it was because school is still in session, and we were there on, like, a Thursday and Friday afternoon. We stayed at the hotel. The hotel was really nice. It was, like, it reminded me of, you know, with the Dirty Dancing?
Yeah.
Like, that place, but without being packed, like it's not camp season.
Okay, yeah.
So like, it's what was off the name
of
season. That camp?
What was the name of the thing in Dirty Dancing? It's gonna drive me nuts.
They were in Lake Lure. I can't remember.
But that's what the building felt like, and the outside felt like. But there's a theme park.
They have like a boardwalk too. Right?
Kellerman's.
Yeah.
At Kellerman's, we had
the yeah. Somebody give Tessa a donut.
So yeah, it's really cool.
What did you guys do there? Did you? I saw one picture of like you were making a bar, like a chocolate bar.
Yeah, you can make your own chocolate bar. So you decide what would be in.
Do you have to set up a tour? Is it like
yeah,
a tour?
You buy a okay. ticket and it takes like 30 minutes and you start at the beginning and you pick what kind of chocolate you want and then you pick what you want in your chocolate bar.
What'd you do?
I went on basic with sprinkles. Milk chocolate.
You milk chocolate with sprinkles? Oh yes. My god, I bet that was
inside weird. Or on top?
The sprinkles were on top, but you could decide what you wanted in it too. Like it came out like a Hershey bar, but then there was like edges around it and they would drop the stuff in it and then cover it in chocolate again.
Oh cute.
And then you would design it. And, like, we got to the end, and you design the outside of the box, and there's like a million stickers, and of course my son, I'm like, we're gonna be here all day.
No, right?
But
so what was your box, what did your box look like?
I did.
Box. What does your box look like, Mel?
I can post a picture of it. I ate it, so I don't have it anymore.
How big is the Hershey bar? That Hershey bar looked fucking
huge. You ate your own box?
No, the box is pretty, and you designed the box, but it's the size of a Hershey bar, but like three of them stacked up.
Damn, that's a big-ass Hershey bar.
So it's the same size, like the square, but just thicker, because they fill it with stuff.
Yeah.
Because you're putting what you
I love how there. Focused Leah is on the chocolate. She's but like, yeah. She looks so full of philosophical.
Giant that were like,
I need more
this
details.
Big. But what I thought was really great about the whole place, like whenever we'd go to check out from buying all these like ridiculous things, everything was really cheap and reasonable.
Yeah. Nice.
Like I thought I was going to get up there and he was getting a stuffed animal, two stuffed animals. It was going to be like 40 something dollars. They're like $20. Yeah. I'm like, oh, okay.
Nice.
So yeah, New Yorkers swear by Hershey. They love it.
It's so cute. So I want to, like, it looked adorable. I'd love to take my kids there. Like,
they're building right now. It's supposed to be the biggest roller coaster. Because there's a theme park there, too.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're in the middle of constructing it. It's supposed to, I think I heard my friend say it's going to be, like, one of the biggest in the world or something like that.
Oh, wow.
They were digging the ground out. It would look like it was going to be long.
I have a friend of mine. She lives in Nashville now, but she's from Hershey, Pennsylvania. Shout out, Chelsea. But she always, like, that was the only chocolate she would buy. That was the only chocolate she'd have in the house. Because I brought chocolate to her house one time, and she's like, no, 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 no.
You know Europeans think Hershey tastes like cardboard?
Like trash, yeah.
They hate really? It.
I don't know why. I love it.
I think it's, I don't know if it's because they just are just palates or just used to other, just opposite yeah. things. I'd love Hershey with almonds. Forget about it.
Yeah.
I will
oh,
eat,
my God.
I'll eat
it's
seven.
It's like the... The nuggets, like the ones that come in, like the big ones with the gold wrappers, fuck you. Those are amazing.
Fuck you, Europe.
I know, but they, I've always wanted to go, so I was really excited to hear about your trip and like see. But I've heard like the streets smell like chocolate. Is that true?
I like, got.
When you,
like when you walk outside?
I got a shirt that smells like chocolate.
Oh, really? Like a scratch and sniff deal, or just because it's been immersed it because, in chocolate?
No, it's like the lettering. It says Hershey. I wore it like all weekend off and on, but it everybody's like, God, you just smell like chocolate.
You're like, well, you're welcome.
I'm sure it'll go away. Well,
I might switch to women if that was the case.
Okay, you guys, let's play a round of plot this book. I've got some suggestions from the lady listeners in Read Me Romance headquarters on Facebook. If you guys aren't in our Read Me Romance headquarters group on Facebook, it's really fun. And book recs are flying around and funny memes and everybody's really nice and supportive. So, and also thank you, everybody that's in the group. Thanks for being like really cool all the time. You know, like,
I know
everybody's really positive.
Me too. Yeah. We don't get a lot of like weirdos or creeps or like
we get everybody some. But
we kick them out.
We kick them out.
No, like there's not a lot of catty posts or negative comments or things. Like I just love how supportive and open. Like when somebody asked the other day, they were like, "Does anybody know a sad romance?" I just feel like crying. And people were like, "Here, this one." Like there was no judgment. They were like, "Yeah, feel free to cry. This is a good one." I just thought that was really cool.
It is nice.
And I posted a picture of my pasta salad. Like 200 people liked it. I just thought that was really nice.
It was a good looking pasta salad.
Fuck yeah.
It was the kind of pasta salad that looked like every bite had the right amount of dressing in it. Mm-hmm. And that's so important, you know, for a pasta salad. You need a good ratio of pasta to dressing. Okay, so what we did in headquarters, we asked for a 3-word suggestion and then we would plot a book based on that suggestion. So I got 3 here. Here's the first one. Pregnant, stairwell, Buckeye.
A Buckeye is like the dessert?
I think of the Ohio State. Isn't that the Ohio State mascot?
Yeah, I mean, they're called the Buckeyes, but a Buckeye is actually like a nut on a tree.
We're already stumped.
Or a dessert. You can have the peanut butter balls dipped in chocolate. That's a Buckeye.
Okay, let's call it. That's what it is.
Okay.
So it's a candy? It's a candy, a pregnant, and a sterile. We already wrote that, like.
I know we had to have written this at some
point. No, we did. They were like doing it in the stairwell. They got stuck and they were crashing weddings for desserts.
Oh, yeah. That's true. Yeah, Sweet Enough to Eat. That was our free book we gave away. Which, by the way, everybody who wanted that book, thank you so much. And who like signed up to get it free. That was really awesome. Thank you guys.
How many did you give away? Do you know?
Oh, my God. Like
free ones.
The last time I looked was probably 5 days ago or something like that. It was over 8,000 or 9,000.
Oh my God. That's crazy.
Yeah. That's pretty awesome though that everybody was like, hey, I want that free book.
Baked goods.
I get that free book. Yeah.
Pregnant Stairwell Buckeye. So
give it to me, Tessa. What would you
do? I don't know. I just have this image as opposed to a story of a girl just like kind of like leaned forward over a railing while the guy's behind her. And like while he's inside her.
Never mind.
While he's inside her, he like reaches around to her mouth and like feeds the Buckeye into her mouth and keeps going, keeps fucking.
Now that's
her.
A fantasy.
Isn't that really nice? Is. Chocolate and sex at the same time.
Why don't we do more books like that where the guy
where she's feeding.
Constantly feeding, he's feeding her.
You
like,
do.
I've said that all the time. I want a feeder relationship romance. You know, like that fetish or whatever. Where the guy just wants the girl. He's like, the bigger you get, the more I love you. Like, that's what I want. I want somebody to write a feeder relationship romance.
Okay, go. Do it.
Okay.
Okay, unicorns, booze, firefighters.
Okay, so she's dressed as a unicorn, and she's drunk.
For Halloween.
Yep, and she accidentally, her tail is supposed to, like, do fireworks or something, and it catches on fire.
I laughed so hard because I could actually see us writing that.
I know. I was just thinking, God, that's really good. That's a good one. Well, all right, Mel, write that down.
Well, by the time the fire department gets there, she's going to be burned alive. So
no, he's there.
They have to be nearby. He's
there.
Yeah. He's okay. A firefighter.
He's like, hey, I'm off duty. Are you really going to make me work when I'm off duty? Come here. It's a costume party. Like, she's dressed as a unicorn. She thought it would be funny to have sparklers out of her unicorn tail. And it caught on fire.
That's really cute.
Do you know we're writing the book Restored? Do you know? Do you remember when we talked about that on the podcast? The last time you were like,
oh, she's in the alley and he's driving around. He gives her chicken.
No, not that one, but that was a good one. No, the one where,
where I said he's restoring the car.
Yeah, so her dad was in a car crash for the car that they used to take around the car shows. And so the hero takes over he took over the garage. He got the car. He's restoring it. He's giving her tickets to go see it. Like, and you were like, you should name it Restored. And we were like, okay, got it.
So, oh, nice.
So we're writing that. It comes out the end of June.
You don't have to dedicate it to me, but I mean.
Oh, we definitely won't.
Okay, so my idea for unicorns and booze and firefighters. Okay, so it's a girl who is like a little bit of a wild child, but she's just been left her niece to raise. She's a wild child. She's stressed out because she has a birthday party to plan. And so she meets a firefighter in a bar and she's like, you know, telling him her troubles about how she's so stressed out about making this birthday party perfect because it's her niece's first birthday without her mother. And then the next day, she shows up to the birthday party venue and the firefighter is there and he's gotten pony rides set up with a like horn on them, like unicorns.
Oh, stop.
And he helps
it.
Her have
it.
The perfect birthday party. Yeah.
Okay. I want
mine's
that
like
story.
Sad, but.
No, but it's so sweet. See, ours is like silly and dumb, but that's actually got some like emotion to it. I like that.
So here's the last one. Storm Chaser, Rose, and Matt.
Obviously.
Yeah.
So she's a, what do you think, Mel?
She's a storm chaser because maybe her dad was one at one time. And so she's a little bit of a wild child.
Wait, this is the plot of Twister.
I know, right? Yep. Basically.
Oh, it is. Well, I wasn't going to kill the dad. Isn't he dead in that one?
I think her parents are, I think Helen Hunt and Twister, like, she talks about how her, like, a tornado took out her house, right?
Yeah. But I don't know if
her parents are dead.
I don't remember.
Forget it, I quit.
Okay, so is he the storm so she's the storm chaser. I like that, because I was automatically making him the storm chaser, but it could be her.
And then, no,
she's in danger,
like,
right?
Yeah, but he's gonna come in like, what is this chick doing? She's running around chasing storms and he's in love with her. So he's got to stop her because this is dangerous.
Yeah. He told her he fell in love with her and he told her that she wasn't chasing storms anymore. But when he wakes up the next morning, she's gone. She's gone off chasing a storm and the electricity's out and his navigator isn't working. So he has to use a fucking Thomas guide, like a map to find out where she is.
And a compass to locate her.
So he's chasing the storm chaser. That's pretty good,
like,
right? Chasing the storm chaser? Chasing the chaser.
Chasing the storm.
Oh, yeah. Her name should be Storm. Rose Storm.
Stormy Rose.
Okay.
Isn't that a porn? No.
What?
No, that's okay. Stormy Daniels.
Oh, like, isn't that a porn star? All right, go ahead.
All right, so I just want to do one more thing before we start playing the final installment of Evermore by Bebe Reid. She has a new release, so like we've been telling you all week, the When Rivals Play series is the connected series. The Peer and the Puppet is the first one, and it's got the same characters as Evermore, For and Ever. I just realized their names together say Forever.
Did you just realize that?
Dying.
Wow, Tessa. Seriously, I got that from like day second one.
Oh my god. I'm a professional.
Yep.
So, but there's a new release out, which now that you've read the first, you know, you've listened to the first four installments, you know these characters, you've met them in Evermore. They have their own book, The Moth and the Flame. So that's out now. It's $2.99 and it's on Kindle Unlimited. So I think that's it. We're going to go ahead and play the final installment of The Evermore by Bebe Reid. And we'll catch up with you guys on the other side.
Awesome.
Bye.
Bye.
Chapter 5. Ever. ETA to prom, 3 days. It's been a month since my father forced me to stand up to the Montgomerys so he could kick me out of his house instead. My mom had welcomed me with open arms while I tried like hell not to let my resentment of her leaving cloud the reality of finally having her home. It was what I had risked my life for, after all. She was renting a modest, two-story home just minutes from my school and the home we once shared, but it was still hell not being under the same roof or sleeping in the same bed as four. And the only time I really got to see her now was at school because my father made sure to change the locks after he sent me packing. I half expected him to kick Jamie out for good measure, but he must have realized Four wasn't that kind of girl. It also might have to do with the fact that when he asked me plainly if I was screwing his girlfriend's daughter, I simply told him that I loved her. My mom had offered to speak to him, which obviously meant she was unaware of why he kicked me out in the first place. Up until she'd made the offer, I thought she knew and had waited for a lecture that never came. At first, I found it weird that she never asked why, but then assumed she was just happy to have me close. We still haven't talked since she came home, unless asking about my day or my father counted. My answers were always the same. School was good and Dad was fine. Only the former was true. My phone buzzed and I checked the message. B, where are you? Knowing B would castrate me if I stood her up again, I sighed. Forced to shove aside one problem for another, I dragged myself from my car and trudged up the driveway. Reaching the front door, I rang the gold doorbell. Knowing how lavishly Elliot Montgomery spent his money, I wouldn't be surprised if it was real gold. For appearance's sake, he had plunged his way into bankruptcy without regard for his family or the thousands of people he employed. The door opened and I was surprised to see a butler, though not the one the Montgomerys had employed for years, standing on the other side of the threshold. This past year, Elliot had been letting go members of his house staff sporadically and without warning, forcing him to open his own doors. I wondered how the hell he'd acquired the money to afford a new Jeeves. "Ever McNamara?" Jeeves inquired. I confirmed my identity with a curt nod. "Follow me." He led me out onto the veranda where Bea waited anxiously with her parents and a woman I didn't recognize. She was brunette with blue eyes and a sharp smile that instantly put me on edge. Mrs. Montgomery was busy serving lemonade from a crystal pitcher along with the sandwiches and cookies that waited on silver platters. Give me a fucking break. "Ever," Elliot greeted cheerfully. He stood up and shook my hand with a warm reception. I had a feeling this was for the benefit of their guest. He confirmed it when, much lower, he icily added, "So glad you deigned to join us." B must have overheard, however, judging by the sudden stiff set of her shoulders. Rising gracefully from the chair, she reached for the pitcher. "Father, have some lemonade," she offered. Pouring him a glass, she shoved it in his hand before he could turn it down. "Thank you," he bit out. More graciously, after remembering the strange woman's scrutiny, he offered me a seat. "Ever, I want you to meet Grace Harrell. She's a reporter at the Blackwood Tribune." I knew at that moment that shit was about to hit the fan. My composure was a renowned thing of beauty. Four claimed I had mastered the art of emotion and how to conceal it, wield it, and ultimately control it. It was a good thing she wasn't here to see me now. "Grace, this is Ever McNamara, my daughter's betrothed." "It's fiancé, you 16th century prick." Under the table, I ran my suddenly sweaty palms down the length of my jeans. Grace was beaming when she turned to me and said, "I think it's so romantic how the two of you played together as kids and now you're getting married." "It's just marvelous," Mrs. Montgomery cut in, inadvertently saving me from responding. "And although it was my dream to see my daughter have a June wedding, with prom in a few days and her birthday and graduation so soon after, I think a September wedding, once all the leaves turn, would be just as beautiful." "It sounds like the perfect ending to a fairy tale," Grace agreed. "And I think our readers will want to hear every detail from start to finish." She glanced down and started flipping through her notepad. I frowned when I saw the pages already filled with notes. "I think I have everything I need except the photo." She then produced a camera from the chair next to her. "You two not only have an interesting story, but you also make a beautiful couple," she said excitedly. My hands balled in my lap when I realized I had come here to do damage control, but instead I was ambushed. "Do you have a background in mind?" "Oh yes, follow me." Melissa happily escorted us inside and led us to an elegantly decorated parlor where I spent the next 2 hours in various intimate poses with my best fucking friend. "Beautiful," Grace said after snapping another countless photo. "Now I'd like to get a shot of you kissing your beautiful bride-to-be." I swallowed hard. "Don't you think you have enough?" Grace pouted sympathetically. "I know this can be a little tiring, but I think it will be eye-catching on our front page." My heart began to thunder in my chest when she raised her camera expectantly. Kissing B was an unequivocal betrayal of Four's trust. This wasn't just another peck on the cheek or forehead. It's okay, son, lay it on her, Elliot said with a nervous chuckle. Grace was now looking over her camera at us skeptically. Right now, we didn't seem like a couple in love. I looked down at Bea, who was staring up at me with pleading eyes, threatening to spill with tears. Bea never cried, so seeing her tears now gnawed at me until I reached for her. It was just a kiss, one meaningless kiss to save her from a far worse fate. My hands clutched her narrow waist, pulling her to me. But when I closed my eyes, preparing to kiss Bea with an intensity I reserved for four, all I could see was four. In my mind, it was four's body pressed to mine and her scent filling my senses and driving them wild. And then, in an instant, it was gone. And I knew that I'd never get it back if I went through with this. I stumbled away, panic spearing through my chest hard enough to cripple me. What the fuck was I thinking? Four would never understand, and I would never forgive myself. I wanted Bea safe, but in this instant, the cost was too great. Bea's eyes widened as I took a step back and then another. I'm sorry, was all I said. And then I got the fuck out of there.
Chapter 6 4 ETA to prom. One day. It was the strangest thing. Tomorrow night, I'd be at my senior prom, and I was actually excited. I had a pretty dress, a handsome date, and Jamie had even taught me a few moves so I wouldn't embarrass myself. It wasn't like it would be my first time, but there was a stark difference between dancing drunk and dancing sober. When you were drunk, everyone assumed your terrible rhythm was because of the alcohol. You should wear your hair down, Tyra advised as we parked. She had picked me up for school that morning so we could strategize. My ponytail will do just fine, thank you. Not the way you do it, she muttered. Hey! My hands flew up to my hair as if it could hear and had feelings. I'm sorry, but as your best friend, it's my job to be brutally honest. At my sour look, she rubbed my arm placatingly. I'm just trying to be there for you, kitten. You've been hanging around Jamie too long. It's not my fault he grows on you. He's like a mole in your armpit. You hate it, but at least no one will know it's there. I'm not sure that makes any sense, Tyra. Really? I was pretty proud of that. She cut the engine and we hopped out. Don't forget we have a mani-pedi scheduled this afternoon. I invited Lou. I'm not wearing nail polish. I was frowning like I had eaten something bad. Then don't, but those cuticles have to go. I studied my nails and realized they could use a little magic. Fine. I looked around for Ever's truck, but didn't find it in its usual spot. Last night, he seemed distracted when we talked on the phone, and the only explanation he gave when I grilled him was that he needed to talk to me and it had to be in person. I sighed and ignored the nervous butterflies in my stomach at having to wait a little longer to see what was eating him. I entered the building with Tyra chattering excitedly next to me, but we were quickly distracted by what seemed like the entire student body milling around in groups holding newspapers. What the hell? She questioned, and I shrugged. I was wondering who died when some guy yelling, "Extra! Extra! Read all about it!" appeared and shoved a newspaper in Tyra's hand. She unfolded the paper, and whatever was on the front page made her mouth fall open. Her eyes hurriedly scanned the page, and as she read, her hands began to shake. What's the matter? Someone lose a cat? I joked. It's not like anything ever happened in this sleepy town. She didn't seem to hear me as she continued to read. However, the moment I moved closer, she quickly snapped the paper closed, amping my curiosity. Suddenly, I felt like Rick in The Walking Dead when he wakes up from a coma and everyone knows what happened except him. The entire world had gone to shit. That's what happened. Seriously, what's up? Why is everyone acting weird? I don't want to show you, she said, and it strangely sounded like a plea. She was clutching the newspaper to her chest, and I was tempted to snatch it from her grip. Instead, I patiently held out my hand. Show me. And then she did. The first thing I noticed was the headline, A Fairy Tale to Remember, and rolled my eyes. But my amusement died when I saw the picture underneath of my boyfriend playing the part of a doting fiancé. They were standing close in a room I didn't recognize. He was holding her hands to his lips, and tears were rolling down her face as they gazed into each other's eyes. They say a picture is worth 1,000 words, and right now, each one was trampling all over my heart. I scanned the page, trying to read more, hoping, praying, desperate to be mistaken, that my eyes were playing tricks on me. But my mind was racing much too fast to focus on the words, and before long, my gaze was too blurry from the tears spilling to even see them. I angrily swiped at my eyes to clear them, but it was no use. The paper was snatched out of my hands, and I was pulled into a hard, achingly familiar chest.
I'm sorry. I'm so fucking sorry.
I heard the shocked gasps from the crowd and realized Ever had spoken those words and hadn't given a damn who heard. Any other day, I might have been one of those swooning females I despised, but today, it only caused me heartache. Pushing him away, I ignored the stares and turned to Tyra. Get me the fuck out of here. Tyra gave a reluctant nod and started for the door with me on her heels, but Ever's firm grip on my hand prevented me from getting far.
Four, please listen. It's not what—
No! I forced myself to meet his gaze and almost scoffed at the torment I saw in them. He had no fucking idea how much this hurt. I'm done listening. I wasn't sure if it was shock or hurt that made him release his hold on me, but I quickly pushed through the crowd and fled before he could change his mind. Seeing him with her, even if it was pretending, was getting too hard to bear. He hadn't told me about the photo or the story, and it made me wonder what else he kept from me. He made me promises, and until now, I trusted him. But now, I wondered just how far he'd gone for her. My stomach turned at the thought, and I almost fell to my knees. How the hell could I have been so stupid? Yesterday had been hell, but the next day hadn't gone much better since I spent most of it arguing with Tyra and Lou after I announced I wouldn't be going to prom. I told myself that it was just one night. I didn't even care about the stupid prom until it was snatched away from me. So what if I didn't get to dance the night away with my Prince Charming? I didn't even know how to dance. No, Barbie would look far better on Ever's arm. She was Cinderella, and I was the lowly servant without a fairy godmother. Eventually, I'd have to face Ever, but not anytime soon. And the best part was that he couldn't make me. Thomas kicking Ever out and changing the locks turned out to be the best thing to happen to me in a while. I was feeling rather triumphant until guilt showed up and ruined it. The fact that I was questioning whether I had the right to be upset only made me realize just how screwed up this whole thing was. If any other girl had caught their boyfriend on the local society rag pledging his heart to his childhood playmate, the answer would have been a firm fuck yes. But I was the only girl in the world who would actually agree to something like this. And maybe that was because, for a while at least, Ever had made me feel like the only girl in the world. So much for that. Right now, I wanted nothing more than to find Ever and give him a good kick in the shin. His leg certainly wasn't what I really wanted to hurt, but he'd see my first choice coming a mile away. I was sitting in the dark, staring at the silhouette of my dress hanging on the back of the door, when my door flew open and Jamie sauntered in holding a bottle of whiskey. He was looking dapper in a black tux with his hair freshly cut and slicked back.
Here,
he said without preamble. Take a few sips of this. I frowned at the bottle he offered. Why? Because I need a date and you need some balls. I grabbed the open bottle and took a sip. The whiskey was smooth, but it burned like hell. I sighed and took another sip. You think I'm hiding? I asked after my third sip. He didn't respond, but his expression said it all. It's called brooding, and I learned from the best. Besides, I thought you had a date. There's enough of me to go around, he said as he crossed the room, grabbed my dress from the door, and laid it on the bed. Get dressed. He then disappeared inside my closet and returned a few minutes later wearing a disgusted look as he inspected the flats I wore on Valentine's Day. These were the best I could find. I studied him, feeling confused as hell. Why aren't you more upset? Everyone thinks your other half is in love with my other half. Who says I'm not? He shot back before tossing the shoes at my feet. Then act like it. I slammed the bottle on my nightstand and stood from the bed. Yell! Fight! Be the over-emotional asshole! He looked me up and down and then spoke with a tone dry enough to chafe sandpaper. I think you've got us both covered, kitten. I'm not going to that prom, I repeated stubbornly. Why not? It's not like Eva is going to be there. I was reaching for the bottle of whiskey again when I paused. What do you mean? Of course he's going. Oh, if you're not there, give me one reason why he'd be there. My lips parted, and when no suitable answer came, I said instead, give me one reason why he wouldn't go. Jamie slid his hands in his tuxedo pants pockets and rose to the challenge with an arrogance that bordered on narcissistic. How about three? Three? I echoed with a hopeful hitch in my voice. Let's see, he pondered aloud. There's the one we already covered, and then there's the fact that he isn't stupid. And the third? I think you can figure that one out for yourself. My gaze narrowed as I stared back at him, and he simply laughed at my refusal to play his game. So what do you say, kitten? Will you be my date to the prom? He gave me this wide-eyed, vulnerable look, playing the role of a shy hopeful. I snorted and then erupted into a hysterical laugh. What's so funny? Jamie questioned with a confused scowl. I was just thinking how I needed a fairy godmother, and here you are. He seemed to like that idea and struck a pose. How do I look? I checked him out, not bothering to be discreet about it. The crisp black tux brightened his tanned skin, but unfortunately it hid most of the tattoos that amplified his devilish appeal. And it seemed almost sinful for him to be wearing that bow tie, as if he wasn't a bad boy with the worst intentions. More like a naughty prince than a fairy godmother. The naughtiest, he confirmed with a waggle of his eyebrows. Sucks for you that I didn't find you first. When I didn't respond to his flirting, his expression became concerned. Four. I can't do this anymore, Jamie. I just can't. It's getting harder to tell if he's really mine. Jamie had abandoned his place against the wall and pulled a handkerchief from his pocket. I thought he'd simply offer it to me, but instead he dried my tears. You think he loves her? I shook my head, knowing in my marrow that he didn't. But I also knew that Ever wasn't a person easily defeated. His ambitious, ruthless, and sometimes detached personality drove him to pursue his desires with a single-minded intensity. When there was something he wanted, there was almost no stopping him, unless he found something he wanted more. I'm not afraid he loves her, but I'm afraid of what lengths he'd go to. I stopped, realizing I'd almost said too much. Jamie still didn't know about the Montgomerys' dire straits, and he sure as hell wasn't aware of Elliot Montgomery's plan to marry his daughter off in order to retain his lost wealth. Jamie frowned, and seeing the frustrated twitch in his jaw, I prayed he didn't press the issue. I was beginning to understand how unfair and cruel it was to keep him in the dark, but it was Barbie's decision whether to trust him with her woes.
I'm not sure what the hell is going on or how my cousin convinced the two of you to share him, but it's only a matter of time before he chooses one of you, and it's pretty obvious to me who that girl is going to be.
My heart leaped with joy, but then he stepped back, and I knew by the scowl that tender Jamie was gone. Wait, I grabbed his wrist before he could walk away. Isn't that what you want? Is she what you want?
You think I'm going to settle for my cousin's sloppy seconds? Oh, no, wait, he said with a snap of his fingers. She'd actually be sloppy thirds. I had her first, after all.
A few choice words were on the tip of my tongue, but before I could let them spill, he kissed my forehead and headed for the door.
Get dressed. I'll wait for you downstairs.
I was still staring at the door long after it closed. Do I stay or do I go? The question weighed heavily on my heart, and I knew that I was questioning more than just the prom. Jamie wasn't downstairs when I finally made an appearance. I had done the best I could with my hair, brushing until it shined before pulling it up and letting the waves tease my nape. Never once did I even consider makeup. I was going to the prom, and that was more than just a start. Jamie, I called as I entered the kitchen. It was the first place I decided to search, knowing it was the most likely place he'd be.
He left 10 minutes ago, informed a voice that was both comforting and distressing. Said he forgot something.
Turning my head, I found Ever standing near the sliding door that connected to the family room, dressed in the exact same tux as Jamie. The only difference was my reaction to seeing Ever looking so suave and unattainable. The warm feeling in my tummy quickly became a searing ache at the possibility that I could never truly have him. Before coming downstairs, I stared at myself in the mirror to see myself as Ever had in that shop when he first saw me in this dress. The sheer love and adoration in his eyes had swept me off my feet. And that memory was how I'd discovered Jamie's third reason for ever not going to prom without me. Or so I thought. I guess we'd both been wrong.
You look beautiful, he said, staring, and I realized I'd been doing the same.
Thank you. You clean up well yourself. Clearing his throat, he glanced down as he entered the kitchen, and I realized he was holding what looked like a shoebox and a smaller, clear container with a color corsage.
Thanks. I was hoping it wouldn't be in vain.
His unsure gaze returned to me, and I realized he was waiting for something. How could it be in vain?
I was hoping we could talk.
I lifted a skeptical brow, but my voice sounded teasing when I said, You got dressed up so we could talk?
I wanted to make a good impression, he teased in return. How did I do?
He asked as I looked him over. As usual, you've exceeded my expectations. I blinked in surprise when he blushed. He turned his head, trying to hide it, but something that pretty was hard to miss.
Appreciate it, princess.
We seemed to get lost in each other's eyes, and it was a while before we were free. I'm not sure I'm ready to talk, Ever. There's so much to think about.
I'm done for.
My heart fell to my feet, and I almost followed it hearing those words. Somehow, I continued to stand tall while the rest of me, soul, heart, and mind crumbled. It seemed Jamie had been wrong for the second time tonight. Ever had chosen, and it wasn't me who'd won his loyalty. I see. It was just like Ever to choose duty over love. He'd infiltrated a vicious gang to try to save his mom from the leader without any regard for the danger to himself. Until now, I thought it was love that made him dare such a thing, but maybe it had been duty after all. I refused to cry, and I'd die a million horrible deaths before I begged, even though it was all I wanted to do with every fiber of my being.
If that's true, Ever said brokenly, then why are you standing way over there? Why aren't you in my arms?
I swiped the tear that had spilled against my will and gazed back at him in disbelief through still blurry eyes. What? Rather than answer, he tossed the boxes on the island and closed the distance between us. However, the minute his chest almost touched mine, I backed away. No, do not try to confuse me any more than you already have. What did you mean by being done? He blew out a breath, and I could tell by the clenched fists at his side that he was using every ounce of the control he possessed not to yank me back.
I didn't know what the Montgomerys were planning. I went over there to apologize for standing them up, and they ambushed me with that reporter bitch.
He raked his fingers through his hair in frustration, completely wrecking the gelled style.
They wanted photos to go with the bullshit story they were spinning about B and me. And as pissed as I was more afraid for B and what it would mean for her if I didn't go through with it.
He laughed as he stared down at the floor, but it sounded dry and humorless.
They have to think I'm the worst fiancé in the world, since I hardly ever come around. And when I do, I'm not truly there.
His candid golden gaze rose to meet mine.
I'm miles away with you, mind, heart, and soul.
I sniffed and tried to draw in a steady breath, but failed. I ached and trembled, wanting nothing more than to go to him, but I knew there was more. You realized this because they asked for a few photos?
No.
He swallowed, and I could have sworn he even gulped.
I realized this when they asked me to kiss her so they could splash it all over the front page.
His words sank in, and suddenly I was trembling for a different reason. I wanted to race over to the Montgomerys and give them all a piece of my mind. You kissed her? I asked him and felt bile rising as I waited for the answer.
Fuck no.
He forgot all about the distance I demanded and took my hands, pulling me close. I felt at home, surrounded by his heat and strength.
For nothing and no one in the world would I ever let myself lose you. That's when I knew I was done.
Gazing up into his eyes, I lost the fight and dissolved into tears. You promise? I sobbingly choked.
Forever and always, for.
I smiled, unable to keep it from spreading, and Ever's eyes widened. Overcome with emotion, his chest shook violently, and he seemed genuinely startled by the depth of his feelings.
God, baby,
he said once he finally calmed enough to speak.
I love you so fucking much.
He leaned down and rested his forehead against mine.
Tomorrow, I'm telling Jamie everything.
Worry penetrated the cloud of happiness surrounding me, and I frowned. Without Barbie's blessing?
I have a plan, but it doesn't work without him. She'll just have to deal.
I found myself smirking at his righteous sense of high-handedness. Can I please be there when you tell her that? His arms tightened around me until it was hard to breathe, but I didn't care. I never wanted him to let go.
I almost lost you, for it will be a long time before I let you out of my sight.
In that case, I gripped his tux in my fist and kissed him hard before whispering against his lips. I love you too. Of course, Ever dove in for seconds, taking the kiss deeper, until he was left with no choice but to lift me in his arms and carry me back upstairs. Prom and the rest of the world would just have to wait.
Hey, lady listeners.
Hey.
We're back. So as we've been telling you all week, there's a $25 gift card giveaway happening from BB Reed. If you go to readmeromance.com and click on the current audiobook, you can enter to win. Go get the rest of the series, When Rivals Play. Evermore is within that series. And now that you know all the characters, I'm sure you all want to find out their stories. So Pier and the Puppet and The Moth and the Flame are both within that series, and they're both amazing. So go check them out.
This is the end of season two.
I know.
I was going to ask you guys, do you feel like there was anything that we did better in season two versus season one? Do you feel like things have gotten easier? Has there been, you know, anything that you felt was a big change from the first to the second?
I think the Facebook group.
Yeah, because we didn't start that until late.
Yeah, and it feels like, I think because when it's just the three of us on here talking, the Facebook group makes it feel like people are actually, like, really listening. I mean, you can see that people have listened, but this year, they're talking about it. Mm-hmm. So you know that people are actually listening to what we're saying. We're not rambling on. So to be engaged with them, I like that with the group. And that's been fun with season two, to get responses from people for what we're saying.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I totally agree. And I think we just have, like, I think in the first season, we were just kind of flying by the seat of our pants and trying to figure mm-hmm. out a system. And now we have it down really well, you know, like, mm-hmm. who does what? And, you know, like, it's just kind of, we've fallen into a rhythm, which I think we were, like, worried because it seems so overwhelming in the beginning. But now that we have, like, a system down, it seems, like, a lot more manageable. And so many people have said to me, like Molly O'Keefe emailed me and she's like, I can't even imagine how much work that podcast is. And I was like, thanks for recognizing that. but we love doing it. And thanks everybody for listening to us. And thanks for finding us interesting.
Shocker. Season three starts next week.
Tell them what your book is.
Put more of a break.
we're kicking off season three next week with Alexa Riley. What's the book, you guys?
It is The Virgin Roommate. If you guys haven't, it connects to The Virgin Husband and The Virgin Wife, which you can read those now if you want, and you will get to meet the people that are going to be in The Virgin Roommate.
Those are 99 cents or in Kindle Unlimited, so just, and they're super quick reads. They're short, but you can go ahead and, like Mel said, grab The Virgin Husband as first, The Virgin Wife as second, and then this is The Virgin Roommate.
Yeah, and it's about a girl. She's come from a big family, and they don't really care for the guy that she's with, which actually, oddly enough, I really like that Leah made him not so attractive. Like, ooh, he's a big guy, but he's like not that, like, handsome in the face.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. she's like, of course, gorgeous and smart. Mm-hmm.
She's beautiful. And another, I know we mentioned it last week too, but so on Monday with Alexa Riley playing, you're going to get introduced to the heroine. Her name's Gia. She has a brother named Jason, and Jason has his love story at the same time she kind of does, like alongside and whatnot. There's a little bit of a time difference. But anyways, on Monday when you meet Jason, if you want his story, you can get it right then. We're going to release a book on Monday. So that's going to be, what did we name that book? Pretty Virgin.
And you guys, and each week after that, a new book comes out from a different author. There's five of you.
Yes.
Yes. It's called The Pretty Woman series, and each one is standalone. They don't connect. They just all have the same theme. All of the themes are rags to riches.
Where the guy, like, or I guess it could be girl either in either situation, but yeah, someone's poor and then it turned out better. But it's like, it's us, Ella Good, Ruby Dixon, Katie Wilde, Jessica Kane. So that's five of us. So we all have, in season three, we all have a book on the podcast. And at the same time that the book is playing on the podcast, you can get an ebook to go with it. So it's pretty cool. So yeah, awesome. We've got that coming next week, and we're excited to talk about it and just talk about ourselves in general.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening. Leah, tell them what to do.
Fuck your day up. Make say your bitch. Don't be a dick. Season two. It's over.
It's over.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Read me romance, read me romance, read me romance, read me romance.